You know, they took care of me for being on vacation, so they scheduled every appointment they could this week to.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Believe she, as part of our efforts on business retention is we seek to meet with at least 150 businesses every year on site. In fact, quite frankly, the number our goal is actually 225 businesses. And we have a database which we input all this information. We share that database with the city and with the county. We're able to track a lot of data in that. And one of those is enterprise zone, if a company is located in enterprise zone. So this is a report that we share. It says quarterly report. It's not. It's visits that we've done with companies in the enterprise zone since January 1. So there's 27 of them. You can see just quickly the company, when we visited them, basically how many employees they have in their NAICS company. But I think it's really interesting, and I didn't print on this report, but we were able to track as they're adding jobs. So, for example, Hell Furniture has added about 50 jobs this year. Custom Window Systems in the last 2 years has added over 200 jobs there in the enterprise. So, of course, Sitel is only not even quite 2 years old.
And they're not in the enterprise
zone. Oh, well, then we'll have to correct that on there. We'll take that. If it gets checked, and there's probably some that we have that are in the enterprise zone that just haven't gotten checked. So, but well, even though it doesn't relate to this group, Sitel has over 550 employees.
I'm so proud of it.
That's right. And we do see a lot of companies that are looking in. You know, the zone is a thing that they'll ask about. Especially working with new companies. Our greatest challenge to locating new businesses in the enterprise zone at this point is having available buildings. You know, we've done 6 new primary employer announcements this year, which we're very, very excited about. I think Snyder Fleet Solutions is in the enterprise zone. Is Creative Foam?
Yes.
So 2 of the 6 are in the enterprise zone. They're always very interested. Quite frankly, the benefits of the enterprise zone really are more valuable to our companies than the other state incentive programs. There are a lot of work, but usually not a lot of return. And the enterprise zone really helps them on the front line and really helps them get up sooner and be able to hire more people. So we always have a lot of requests for it. It's just we don't have much. In fact, that's our greatest challenge at this point in recruiting new employers is having available facilities. And you may look and go, well, I see lots of empty buildings. Yeah, but it's the quality of the buildings. Our typical client is looking for approximately 40,000 to 50,000 square feet, at least 25 foot clear. And I think I looked, there's exactly 2 buildings of that type in Marion County that are available. So we are starting to talk to private developers about building spec space. We do have a developer who is interested in doing it. You know, part of it is trying to figure out where to do it and talking about, you know, the enterprise zone is one piece of that is, can we find a site in the zone that makes sense? And we're also talking to some national players about building space. So, we're seeing a lot of activity. It kind of got slow for just a little bit as we are wrapping up several of these new companies. If you missed it last month, we announced 3 new companies in our area. Just-in-Time Machining, which is a machining company out of New York that's putting a facility here. Apollo Renal Therapeutics purchased the former Clarison Plastics, and really they're going to be investing quite a bit into that facility, upgrading the skills of the employees, adding new employees to make medical devices. And then Worth Industries, which is putting a small distribution center here. And it actually is in the enterprise, it won't show up on this report yet, but it's actually in the enterprise zone. So, seeing good activity, but we got slowed up a little bit, but now we started, suddenly last week, everyone on the phone kept ringing. So several projects. The one good thing, as I mentioned, everyone's looking for buildings, is we're starting to see a few more people interested in building buildings. 2 of the 3 projects we picked up last week were the Greenfield, where they're looking to build. On the other hand, we lost a project week before last, really liked Ocala, really wanted to be here. We found some builders to do a build a lease for them. We're trying to work through it, and they finally came back and said, you know, we love the area, we'd like to be there, but we need a building today. We can't wait any longer. We found one in another state, we're going to go there. So it's been a real challenge from that standpoint. But of course, not only are we attracting major companies, helping existing companies, but also our entrepreneurship efforts. So, you know, you're here at the power plant today. If you've not been through here before, encourage you to kind of walk around, talk to some of the companies. We're currently at 95% capacity in this facility. We have one opening. We have a company getting ready to graduate, so we'll have two. But we've already had the companies interested in filling some of that space. We, in partnership with the city, have a grant that was awarded a year and a half ago. Hopefully soon we're ready to start pulling down the money, but be doing some renovations to this building, replacing the heating and air primarily, and then also expanding into the little building that's attached to it by the breezeway, and then the former credit union building. We'll be able to add more space, and we already have some clients interested in that. Here comes one more. Get ready. Two last things I'll just mention to you related to the CEP, the two notes. One is I would encourage you, we are co-sponsoring a leadership training event on Friday. It is free to the community. It is a John Maxwell, if you're familiar with him, probably the best known leadership author in the country right now. He's written 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership, among other things. It is a simulcast with he and two others. If you go to leadocala.com, you can register for free. It's from 9 until noon, and we're doing it at the Church of Hope on Merrick. So we have room for 450 people. Tell you that as of yesterday morning, we were at 415. So if you'd like to attend, it's free. We're providing breakfast to start off the day, but you can do that. John Maxwell is a great leadership speaker. If you know anyone who benefit from that, encourage them to sign up. And then the last thing is we're very excited. We're going to roll out a new program next week. It is a prescription discount card. It's primarily for our partners, but quite frankly, it's available to anyone for free. They can go to our website and download it. When we've talked to all of our pharmacies basically here in the community, we'll take it. I say that everyone we've looked at will take it. In talking to other chambers across the country who are using this product, they've found that their partners are saving, even over their insurance card, saving money on prescriptions. So it's available. If you have insurance, you can use it. If you don't have insurance, you can use it. Works well with Medicare Part D or with health savings account. But it's great. Products available for free. You can download on the website to use different locations. So encourage anyone you know that could take advantage of it to go to our website and download it. There's a big card on the front page. You can see how to do that. So.
Okay, thank you, Kevin. We now have a quorum, so we'll officially, and you're not supposed to be here because she said so. I wasn't supposed to be here because I told her I wasn't.
I know. I'm sorry. My meeting got over faster than I expected, so I don't apologize.
I got your concern. Yeah, I know. There are about 20 Florida Highway Patrolmen on my tail when I pulled
over. I'm so sorry.
So let's call the meeting to order. We've got some new faces here, and I guess just for the record, so she makes sure we have a roll call, let's just go around the room and say our names.
Captain, okay. Originated was a Ocala Police Department.
I'm Brenda Chrisman, Career Source, City Lady Marion.
Kevin Sheely, Chamber and Economic Partnership.
Travis Magmull, MNS Bank.
Louis Sherwood, and Kimmy Robinson Church.
Brad Nimmo, Habitat for Humanity.
Natalie Ford, City of Talent.
Jerome
Gamble,
Second Bethlehem.
Sonia Nasser, City of Bethel.
Jimmy
Whitman. And I'd like to introduce Carol McKeever. She has been working with the city for quite some time in code enforcement, and then she left to get her education. She's recently received a bachelor's in accounting, and she will be joining us as a full-time employee here fairly soon. So we're very excited. So Carol's very enthusiastic. She's a spitfire, and we're happy to have her.
And she now knows how to sign into that computer. Okay, we don't have a formal agenda anymore, so I'm going to ask Ms. Melanie to kind of guide us through the day here.
Okay, well, we've done introductions. We do have a couple of new members, Pastor Cherubin and Mr. McAmal. They were here at the last meeting. The other two are not here today, but we're back to having full memberships. We do have 13 members. So the next order of business would be to approve minutes.
Yeah, you have a set of minutes, I think. Everybody was getting set. So I want to take a minute and look them over. If you haven't already, I'll accept a motion.
So,
thank you. Brenda seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed, changes, corrections? Okay. Okay, the minutes are on.
The next thing has to do with the legislative agenda. Wanted to let you know that City Council is reviewing a number of items that they will take forward for the next legislative session. You may recall that last meeting, Astrida Trupovnicks gave us an update on a number of legislative issues. What we would like to do is ask the group if they would approve forwarding a letter to City Council in support of the extension of the enterprise zone program. The city staff will put that letter together, and then we have Mr. Nimmo as the president of this group execute that letter on behalf of the PZDA.
I'll make a motion for that.
Do you second?
I'm not second that. I've already voted for something that was kind of inconsistent here.
What's wrong?
The minutes. I just looked at it.
Well, do you need to revise the minutes?
Yes, I do. Sorry, I'm sorry. I had one moment.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Thank you, Kevin. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you.
We would like to minutes. Other than to look at it, all the approval, there was a, it says here that in the last meeting that I discussed about the unemployed individuals and public policy institute.
I'm looking. Where is that?
Okay. Yeah, I see what you're talking about.
Yeah, unemployed individuals and public policy, they still exist.
By reaching out to the Public Policy Institute.
Oh, yeah, okay. And we focusing on folks who are like ex-offenders, you know, that's probably the
thing. I think it's
That was it. Okay.
So the motion
would
be changed to accept the revisions?
Yeah, I have a motion to, again, to accept the minutes with the revisions.
Is
there
a motion?
I didn't hear the motion.
Motion.
All right, okay, now a second.
I like that, because you motion as you motion. I appreciate that.
We'll work on that.
Okay, so who did the motion? You did the second.
She did the motion. She did the motion. It's good.
Oh, I love this.
And to be second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay.
Okay.
Moving forward.
Okay. An update on the annual and quarterly reports. You have in front of you the official report that was submitted to the state. I wanted to point out that we did meet all of our required quarterly meetings, which are listed as the accomplishments. We did hold several training sessions with enterprise and partners, and we participated in a community meeting with Greater Ocala and with, Governor's West. So there were about 70 people that we were able to reach out to in those efforts. accomplishments. You can see there what we were able to do over the past year. This report covers the state's legislative period of July 1, 2013 through June 30, 2014. So we had to rework our reporting. Using our database for the city's permitting office, we identified 44 new businesses in the enterprise zone, showing 121 total employees. So when we incorporate that information with what Kevin Cooley's office provides for us, we will need to check those numbers before we report them to make sure that we're not duplicating anything. So that's just a note that we need to make when we're going through reporting these items. You can see that we had only two applications for business equipment sales tax refund. They were both approved. Total purchases of $50,377, which resulted in incentives of $2,932 to those two businesses. The city has five participants going on to next to the last page. There are five businesses participating in the utility tax incentive, receiving $48,380 in tax exemptions of the municipal utility tax. There were local funds for capital projects spent in this last year, or in this reporting period, of almost $4.5 million. That would be for the Northwest 35th Avenue road completion at the Magna Ocala 49 project. In addition to that, under the Economic Investment Program, it did made a contribution under that program of $25,000. If you flip over to the back, with the input that we have received, Brenda gave us some numbers for on-job training. Kevin and I worked on the qualified targeted industry numbers. We were able to leverage a grant, Economic Development Transportation Fund, of $2 million, an EDA grant of $624,000, and an FDOT grant of $84,810. With all of that, the additional resources accessed within the enterprise zone benefited six companies to the tune of $2.9 million. So I wanted to let you know that we are seeing success with the enterprise zone. Following up on that, I just wanted to share something with you. We received an email from the state, actually from our lobbyists. There's an entity looking for specific information to support the continuation of the Enterprise Zone program. And I didn't print that out so that I could read some of those to you. I had it here. Here it is. I wanted to let you know what kinds of questions were asked. In case you are asked, you have an idea, or you can just refer them to me. They asked about our understanding of the intent of the state's enterprise zone program. Just a refresher, the program exists to provide incentives to businesses that are planning on locating or expanding within the boundaries of the zone for job creation. Wanted to know what the advantages to businesses that participate in the enterprise zone program would be. Those advantages are the tax benefits that they would receive. The city also provides for a 50% exemption of the municipal utility tax, which currently is 10%. So for any of the businesses that participate in the program, they're paying a 5% municipal utility tax. The nice thing about that program is that if they qualify for the state's program, and they apply and they qualify, they also get a 50% reduction in the sales tax that they would pay for utilities used in the enterprise zone. So it's not just a local benefit, it's a state benefit. Disadvantages, we didn't really see any, except that a lot of the companies cannot participate in the program for the capital equipment reimbursement. A lot of the companies aren't able to spend the minimum $5,000 on a piece of equipment. So we're recommending that they reduce the capital level for this program to $1,000 so that more people can participate in it. We think that would be more beneficial to the businesses. We were asked how important is the enterprise zone program to your local businesses with regard to location decisions. We believe that if all other factors are completely the same, that the incentives become important. We used an example of our largest project currently under construction, 460,000 square feet. That would be the FedEx distribution hub. They're planning on spending approximately $123 million minimum on that project. So that is a huge benefit to them being in the enterprise zone, to locating here. And when we did talk to them, that was one of the incentives that they were interested in. So we're using that as an example. From the city's perspective, how has the program affected the following conditions in the designated zones and areas? They wanted to know about the crime rates. We didn't have a good number on those, and we don't know that there's a direct impact yet because the program is so new. And it's really hard to make a nexus between, you know, crime rates and the jobs that are created by these businesses, unless, Captain, you have some input on that.
Well, for one, I would need to know location, the business location, and maybe we can do a comparison chart.
Right.
Pre-business, and then during business, even one after the post-business, but we have to know where we need to look in order to make those comparisons.
We've got two geographies involved here because we expanded the enterprise zone down here. So we can do it. Maybe. It just takes some time.
And then the other portion of that is what kind of crimes are you looking at, you know, as far as business, you know.
They're looking at the level one and level two.
For us to do one, you know, chart or do some numbers to pull up, you know, that information. But the problem, like you say, is you got some in my talk up here in the always in the city, correct?
Okay.
Right.
So we need to get Tina to pull those geographies?
Or? I'll shoot them to me or whatever.
Okay.
I can let you know. All of us will get back here if you want.
Okay.
You just need to know where, and we can pull the numbers, but she's going to ask me the time frames and all of that, so how long this business has been in existence. I need to know when we started as well.
We'll get together on that.
Okay.
They wanted to know if there had been a change in property values. Looking at the time frame that they're talking about and the state of the economy over the period of time that they're looking at, I thought that it was difficult to assess. But we were able to come up with one example, which was the Signature Brands Popcorn Facility, which was constructed after the Enterprise Zone was established. Based on that capital improvement, their property value increased at approximately $2.8 million, which resulted over the past 2 years of $97,000 in increased ad valorem. So that was a positive. Local infrastructure improvements. The city has made infrastructure investments in excess of $7.9 million and leveraged in excess of $4.1 million in support from state and federal sources. So that's something that we're going to be making them aware of at the legislative level. The appearance of businesses and residences. We stated that we've seen some small improvements as a result of the program, but we haven't seen any wide sweeping changes because the program is new and we've been, you know, economic conditions again. The other category, we shared that permitting records indicate that over the most recent 2 years, 83 new businesses have been licensed, reporting an estimated 536 jobs. So that's a 2 year success period.
Is there any way to compare what it was like the 2 years before that?
No. It wasn't being captured. Yeah. And these are only the ones that have been captured.
Yeah.
So businesses aren't required to report their job numbers. There's
right.
no way of really knowing. So we captured the ones that we knew for certain could give us reports. If the Enterprise Zone program sunsets is scheduled in December 2015, how would it impact your city, county? We believe that terminating the program would have a detrimental effect on the community. Over the past several years, the city has entered into private-public partnerships, jointly contributing in excess of $40 million in infrastructure investments. That includes all of the roads that have been built, water, sewer, all the utilities. And this has been done to prepare for attracting additional business. So we're looking at improvements at the airport and the Ocala 489 project. We also shared with them that one of the business parks is privately owned and one is publicly owned. So there's definitely a private-public benefit there. And that one of them in particular is highly visible adjacent to I-75, which should hopefully capture their attention, since they're looking at us capturing a market of the tourism, a portion of the tourism dollars that come in to Orlando. We might be able to attract additional tourism here. So those are some of the things that we talked about. We also talked about the feasibility study for the Inland Port Project logistics program. So we're working, moving forward with that. And they asked if we had any additional comments about the Enterprise Zone program. Frankly, we told them that it appears the program is being evaluated on its short-term merits when it's set up to be a long-term program. So essentially we're asking that they kind of look to the future with us and try to be supportive. So that's my report on those items.
The legislative side is clear. When it sunsets, is that the whole state?
Yeah. Yes. The entire Enterprise Zone program. Right. There are a couple of schools of thought. They may continue with those Enterprise Zones that are successful, that are really making the effort to have when it happens. They may continue it, but we really don't know. And we probably won't know until after the governor's election to see what comes out of that.
Would you run through the numbers again that you mentioned in terms of the FedEx project?
The FedEx project?
It's
$123 million is the minimum amount that they're going to be spending. The facility is approximately 460,000 square feet. They committed to 165 jobs under our economic investment program agreement and with QTI, that they're going to be getting from the state. So,
and that's 165 FT.
Yes. Yes.
Good.
That would be the full-time jobs that they're full-time equivalent jobs.
But the important thing with that is Billy can tell you this is phase one of that project. They've already purchased another 30 acres, 28 acres. So
eventually that's going to be
The site plan, I think the site plan shows parking for 1,000 cars.
Yes.
If you follow what's happened with every one of these other facilities in the country, they have, they're about 900,000 to a million square feet, and they have between 1,000 and 1,500 employees.
And the Enterprise employees will be preferred.
The way that that works is there are some that Brenda is able to identify, the Enterprise Zone candidates, mm-hmm. we're asking them to work through Workforce Connection when they're placing their employees. Except, I'm sorry, Career Source. I correct Mark all the time, and then here I do it. They do not get preference. However, the company gets a benefit if they do hire those employees. So, yes.
Two questions about FedEx. I may have asked this in the last meeting. I don't remember. But do we know if their future plans are to, in connection with the airport, to maybe have FedEx Air?
This is simply FedEx Ground.
Simply FedEx.
And they are separate companies under FedEx. So FedEx Ground is headquartered in Pennsylvania. FedEx Air is headquartered in Memphis.
The other question would be, is that in reference to the enterprise zone, that is an enterprise zone where they are, correct?
Yes.
Okay, question, and I think I've been asked this before, is there any benefit for the company to hire personnel from within the enterprise zones, entities, other entities?
Yes. They can receive 20% of the person's salary as either a tax credit on their corporate income tax or against their sales tax. And it's called a jobs tax credit.
Which brings up my last thing from the first meeting that I came here a couple of meetings back, and that was do with Tim Brito as far as the mapping. So if you remember, I asked that if she can be provided the locations of the enterprise zone that when an employer, because we had no way of knowing if that person lived within that enterprise zone, but if they provided an address for an applicant or what have you, whatever, we can pull it right up on the map and they'll say, okay, yes, in the enterprise zone, you know, wherever it might be. So
we've already established that boundary, and we do have a map layer for that.
You got that.
So we work with Brenda whenever she's got an applicant to determine whether or not they can get any more.
Is that on the website?
Now, unfortunately, it's not right now. There is a boundary on the Locate Ocala sites and buildings website, so you can look addresses up there. Are all the addresses showing up, Kevin, or is it just the ones that have properties associated?
What you can do is it'll show. You can do a search by enterprise zone. It'll show you all the buildings that are available in the enterprise zone. You can also look at the layer and find the site and see if it's in within that zone. It won't search it out if there's not a building listed with that, but you can search it yourself.
I was kind of wondering if it's, for enticing. Would probably be really great incentive to have it online as well, so that they can see
see what's available buildings and sites wise. Huh. They can't tell whether they is an individual company. I mean, they could. It doesn't take much work to figure out if it's an enterprise zone. They get the benefit, but correct me if I'm wrong, Brenda. They can't hire someone. They can't exclude someone from being hired if they're not an enterprise zone. Right. But
I'm sure that they won't. I mean, that's not their biggest issue. What they want is to find out, you know, do they qualify? This is the best applicant. Are they eligible? Yeah. If they are, great. If not, oh well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, rightfully so. That's how they're out there.
Well, I was really looking at hiring.
Absolutely, yeah. So if they go to our sites and buildings database, absolutely. That's one of the fields.
Well, then you can call me and find out.
Okay.
We've got the database.
Yeah. So it's not, if it's a company we're working with, that's not an unusual question, and so we'll give them all the buildings or sites that meet their criteria in that.
Yeah, and at least a couple of times a month, I will get a listing from a company saying, can you tell me if any of these employees are in the enterprise zone? So we're communicating with them on a regular basis. The other thing is, there was a map, searchable map layer on Enterprise Florida's website that there was a subscription, a signed with it. They were using Florida Prospector or something like that, and they took it down because they didn't want to pay for the subscription. So we're kind of limping along right now, but we do have ways to get the information.
Any other questions?
Is there a site or a place you can go to look at all, like a summary of all the incentives offered in the description? Because that'd be perfect for a lot of businesses with my job. I just, I'm not really sure what incentives are out there.
I think there's probably a couple. I think there's some on the city website, and then, but also if you go to calicp.com, if you look at growing jobs, you'll see what says incentives. And there's it includes city programs, state programs, county programs, career source programs. And it's, we try to keep it real short, just a brief description.
Okay.
What was that site?
OcalaCEP.com, and then click on Growing Jobs.
Joan had asked if when FedEx is going to be hiring. I'm not sure. They are supposed to complete their construction by the end of 2016 and complete their hiring in 2018.
So they're unless it's, they're not showing the facility being operational, I don't think till the second beginning of the second quarter of 16. So
yeah.
Are there any other companies coming to enterprise zone other than
Sure. I mean, we've mentioned Creative Foam, which the medical device manufacturers come in. Snyder Fleet has come in to that. A portion, not all, of the Ocala Marion County Commerce Park, 489 Magna, the property around FedEx is in the enterprise zone as well. The Airport Industrial Park is in the enterprise zone, as well as Cal International Commerce Park and the Airport Park. So, I mean, there's activity happening in all those.
One question is for employment jobs.
You got an enterprise zone. Is there a certain mileage or radius or whatever near that, let's say, for the employees or potential applicants? And you're talking a lot of industrial areas. People don't live in industrial areas.
That's why the enterprise zone boundary was drawn the way that it is, so that it includes residential and commercial. So the commercial businesses that are located in the enterprise zone would gain benefit from hiring the residents that are in that boundary. So it's all the same boundary. There's not a radius. It's an actual geographic boundary.
You're a copy of that in your office. You get a copy of the colored map, and it shows how it stretches through 40 from out there where the FedEx thing is, down through the residential areas along 40.
So we get to move, we have to get in the enterprise zone.
After you retire, you want to send me your home address?
Trust but verify.
Brenda, do you know the kind of job at this point, the kind of qualifications that they're going to be looking for?
Oh my goodness, the last time we met with them, I mean, and it's been a year and a half, actually probably 2 years in December when we met with them talking about jobs, it is everything what you would expect. And keep in mind, the drivers are kind of a subset, they're on their own union, but it is warehouse type workers, it's anything office administration. I'm trying to make this a broad array of things, but you know, a lot of accounting and IT people, everything. They never, that when there was an original discussion, they never gave us a breakdown by position what they were looking for. So it was just a very broad array of jobs.
Salary, average salary.
Oh, I can't remember. It was
the FTE average salary is 32,000. It's the county. It's equal to the county average. So you will have, what that means is you will have managed positions that pay much better. You will have some part-time positions. Part-time positions at FedEx pay well for part-time positions, yes. But.
Do you have any meetings scheduled with FedEx down the road?
You know, I mean, we had, before they made the final decision, we had a couple meetings with them, and it's just like, for us on our side, I mean, Kevin would be more, it's like, they don't need us until another year and a half down the road. Right, so changes drastically, but I'm here.
Well, I'm trying to figure out if these people need to be trained and they have time now, if we know what kind of jobs.
Well, let me, I think we've shared the colleges did a logistics program for expanding, there's grants do that, which was brought in, there's an Excel grant for the college and several initiatives there to work with logistics. And I'm trying to think some of the other companies, not just FedEx, but R&L. So there are efforts underway to broaden that customer level, that sort of skill level through the college. So for the rest of the positions, you know, like IT, which is always, it's not unique to FedEx, but the city and county.
And also veterans that come in.
Veterans?
And FedEx is a veteran's preference, so.
I will say this, though, because we work with veterans who come into our office and everything, and I don't know if it's good or bad, but we just don't see them. They do, I mean, which means they're employed. We truthfully seldom get a lot of veterans come to the office. Like I said, when they come here and get a job right away, but we have a very small population of veterans that are seeking service support to get employed right away. And like I said, it's good and bad. We can't, we're not serving them because there's none coming in to be served. So, I mean, that is a good problem. But our veteran population to recruit and to refer out to jobs, we do have a lot of folks that, hey, veteran friendly. But we don't have a lot of customers looking for veterans looking for employment because they're employed. That's a good problem with that. Okay, fine. And there's several companies.
The college have training dollars?
We did find that this year we have, and I was going to mention that, I'll say that at the end for updates, we're with our funding the way it goes every year, but this year we're fortunate we have training dollars to send individuals to school, and we also have on-the-job training funds for employers, and as well as we have something called employee worker training or custom business where we help employers or existing employees train now. So we would have funds at this point that we're promoting out and trying to get employers.
And I would just share, our team does a lot of meeting with companies, new companies. Obviously, you know, I forgot what he said on our report the other day, 150 existing companies. We make lots of referrals with Melanie. We're bringing Melanie in, talking to ProZone, ton with Brenda. The great challenge, people want assistance. Nobody wants to talk to paperwork. There is a ton of people who qualify for incentives and assistance, and they simply don't fill out paperwork. And we do everything we can except fill out paperwork for them. So if everyone, these numbers would probably triple if we could get them to fill out paperwork.
The reality is, the paperwork is not that difficult.
No.
They think it is. There's a perception that there's a lot of documentation that needs to be done, and that's just not the case. I've even gone so far as to fill out the application for them, and they won't sign it.
Because we do that too. I mean, so we will literally fill out everything for that and just say, sign here. I mean, we want them to take advantage.
And that's, I can't tell you the number of times we've had Felicia on our team come back. She's calling Brenda. They're pushing. They got to go. Melanie, they rush in. They schedule. They're great. They get in with them. And here's what we need. And we get all the stuff.
It's not a priority.
Part of it is They're worried about that. You know, they don't even want to look at paperwork. They have their mind it's going to be a challenge. So it doesn't matter what you say. They've already got that perception. Part of it is, I can tell you, I've done this job in 4 states, and it's exactly the same way. They don't know that there's really going to be any value for them. Once we get people to take advantage, they're huge proponents. But it's getting them to do that.
Is there something that's causing that wall?
Like I said, it's been my experience having worked in 4 states that it's kind of that way. It's
still, there's a perception that they think they'll be put under the microscope if they start applying for these incentives. Yeah, you know, there's some here and way there.
I get that thing all the time. Yeah, people don't want to give up financials because they don't want to get off of it. They think they're under the air with the IRS.
We
don't have
time for
that. I mean, that is literally a concern of a lot of people. I don't know if they think applying for grants would put them on a red flag for the IRS.
But it's even with training. I mean, people be ready to hire. I mean, we need people.
Yeah. Yesterday, yeah. It is amazing. It is one of those things that you can only go so far and you push it, and it is. And Felicia, I had this conversation this morning. They said, I'm desperate, I'm desperate, I'm desperate. And then when they give everything, and all you have to do is assign your whatever, and it's just nothing. They just kind of stop calling and everything. It's just amazing. Mm. So, you know, one of those things, you know, assumption, you know, we try to get the employers who see the value, take advantage of you, that are promoters, and share those success with them.
And occasionally we'll get one who puts it, you know, 6 months later will come back, and then they'll do it, and then it's like, why did I wait? Wow, why did I wait? I don't know, why did you wait?
I did want to say, Sonia from our procurement department, she wanted to share a little bit of information about the e-procurement product that the city uses.
I kind of said something at the beginning before she came in, but then there was something that came in. But basically, we have a new site called federalpower.com, and all of our city coding, all of the bidding, all of the RFPs, everything is going to be running through this new system. So I encourage all the businesses to register, and I also want to make sure that small businesses register. And we are having a DBU program, so we're going to be really pushing that. We're going to be pushing our minority business program really hard, and I want to make sure that, you know, if any minorities in the community, that they also come and register with me.
Explain what DBE is.
Yeah. So it's just it's for, I get them there myself.
That's okay. Is it business enterprise?
It's diversity, yes. It's basically they have to get a DBE through the state of Florida, through FDOT, and they are actually business, it's quite a business enterprise, and they can get their DBE through the state of Florida through the FDOT website. But I want everybody to just contact me, because I will walk them through the whole process. And because everything is going electronic, it's going to be very difficult for certain people to actually use the electronic system. So I'm going to be dedicated to all of those smaller businesses that cannot do it or that don't have the means to do it, that I will actually register them on the system. And I will teach them how to use the system or how to bid and port through the system. But we really want to encourage a lot of businesses to come into our system. That's what I'm
thinking.
Yeah, so it's got my name and my phone number and my email. That's what you contact me, email or phone number. But I really want to make sure that everybody that's here can, if you can just give the word out to everybody else, that would be great.
Okay. Anything else for the good of the order?
Yeah, I just wanted to let you know that we received a certification just today that another one of our businesses is qualified for their utility tax exemption.
Yep. So. Sometimes the magic works. So you have anything else for the good of the order? Any updates around the table? You came late, you missed Kevin's big update.
I have a small one here. Great Hotel Community Development Corporation, we have been working. We have a business incubator program going. We have one business, nonprofit. Bridge to Hope, that launched out in the Hampshire School Tutoring. And the Department of Hotel College Authority in the summer. And they did 50 kids. Number 25 on the waiting list. The after school park, there's so many kids, it's just like, anyway. They are out of the gate, they're working, they're over at Steeple Chase on 27th Avenue, they're going to be at the Normal Park, they're going to be out here at the 25th Avenue, second place, the after school. Well, we got some other folks coming online. We have, Black Meet Black Hawk Media group that's coming in and integrating with us. They're involved in social network marketing and just a lot of little tricks as far as marketing. We also have another group that's coming online called Leggings. They're into the hair care and the latest techniques and where you do hair, which is a whole new industry. Somebody done to itself. And on October the 25th, from 1 to 4 p.m., we're going to have a community reach out. We're going to provide a cookout, open house for Bridge to Hope and a reopening of the Great Hotel Community Building Corporation. And so we're going to have that from 1 to 4 p.m., from 5 p.m. Saturday. And...
Is that the OCDC office? Is that where you're holding it?
Yes, correct. And we have set up our new website. It's still working on it, but we have established links with the city, the CDP, we have on there, the county. We have the Real Source on there. We don't have OPD on there. The link. Well, we have put those links on the website so people can get it, and the information you just gave, we definitely want to push that a lot. And we have a few other things that we're working on. We've been working to do some things to improve the appearance of the interior of the building of OCDC. We really could use your help. If anybody wanted to donate some shingles, some paint, we want to fix up that corner there, the exterior.
Have you talked to Lowe's?
Who?
Lowe's?
No, I haven't talked to them.
The Lowe's through their foundation, especially if it's projects that they can, you know, for those kind of building materials, or if their employees can participate in doing it, they will also do that for not-for-profits.
Lowe's Foundation?
Yeah, just go to the Lowe's. You go to the Lowe's, one of the local Lowe's stores, and talk to the store manager. But
but if any of you would like to, we have no objection to it. Would like to make a financial donation to our building fund. You can by all means do that, take that as well. That's part of the reason why we've done the opening and grand opening of Bridge to Hope and the Community Building Corporation. We'll also have a souvenir booklet that we're promoting to be raising funds that we're selling advertisements in that souvenir to help raise some funds.
So the open house is from 1 to 4 on the 25th?
Yes. And so if you have any information, for example, or if so that you have information, we're going to meet at the yard and put a table up out there. You can, if you have any information on both the brochure and the just to
get fire for that? Get fires for that?
Yeah, I brought one here today. You got to fix it up a bit.
Okay.
Got to make it. Get your attention.
Okay.
Make it orange.
All right.
Okay, that's Halloween. But anyway, go ahead. What's the date on that? Location, I'm sorry. Location, 1749 West Central Street Boulevard. It's with the OCDC, next to the OCDC. Kind of fix that stuff up. And we have been continuing to clean up the property there at Dollar General. So we're going to clean up the trees. Not a lot of work. I'm going to get a workout. Clipping the tree branches and what have you, keeping the place looking, looking good. So we're trying to do our part. Oh, I was going to ask. If you know of any organization, have any more nice table like this, we could use two to set up our computer lab. We're going to fix it up. And with the computer lab that we're going to set up there at Anchor City, basically it is right now some people use it, but we kind of want to change it up and make it a lot more user friendly. So we need to get some tables like these and then we just pop it just out of it.
Okay. Last chance. 404.
There is. There's a rail visioning meeting at IHMC at 6:30 tonight if you're interested in going.
A what?
Rail visioning.
Rail?
Railroad.
Railroad. Oh, railroad. Oh.
Visioning.
Yeah, you don't want me to see that.
I'm not talking, I have one more thing. The CEP is actually having this Toastmasters Club, and we're just trying to recruit right now. So I'm hopefully I'll be a better speaker after I'm graduating from that. that's meeting every Friday at noon.
Is it every Friday or every other Friday? Is it
every Friday?
Every Friday, what do I know? But every Friday at noon at the main building.
So if you'd like to become a good speaker, come to that. That's what my whole goal is.
Is that a new branch, or because there was one at the AAA? Is that the one?
It's a new one.
It's a new one. So okay, because there's a couple.
Every Friday at noon is...
Every Friday
at noon. You don't have to come every Friday. You can come like whenever you want to, but you just need to join and become a part of the initial group if you join. And then you can come as you need.
And if you're not familiar with Toastmasters, it's a great group, but it helps you become a better public speaker. And they apparently, I hear them, they're having a lot of fun in there. I'm not quite sure how that's coming along, but I hear a lot of laughter coming out, so...
Okay.
Can you be really clear?
Okay, I'll second. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed, can stay.
Did you make the motion like that, Brenda?
I'm